I felt to preach this afternoon of Abraham's life, out of Abraham's life. And I've entitled my sermon, The Journey of Faith. Life is a journey of faith, wouldn't you agree? And the word the Lord gave me this year was that of trust. Trust, you know, trust is relational faith. Trust is not just a blind faith or a blind trust. Trust is actually relational faith. It's putting your faith in someone that you know, in someone that's proved him or herself. Wouldn't you agree? You don't just trust any person. Does anyone here just trust a stranger? Who of you trusts like a stranger immediately? Most people are so mistrusting of people, right? If you look at the world today, it's like we're so mistrusting of people. Our default is like to mistrust someone, which is in a way right, because we have to test people. People have to be tested in order to trust them. But there's one who can be trusted, and his name is Jesus. Amen. He's the Father of all gods. He's the God of all gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He's the Father God revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ. We can trust him. Why? Because his word proves it. Over thousands of years, God has remained faithful. Amen. So I want to just talk about this whole thing of faith, because it ties in with trust. It will bless you and encourage you to go on this journey of faith. Because that's the journey we as a family are going on. We really believe God has called us to go. And we trust that you would also go. And it doesn't only mean physically go. Okay, yeah. In Abraham's life, it's physically going. But I want to say to you today, it's not about physical going. Sometimes it may mean you must go physically, but it's about a movement. It's about growing and walking on this journey with Jesus Christ. So let's read together. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, I know those people at the back, you might not see this very clearly, so rather read your Bibles. You might strain your eyes to see. It's a little bit small over there. But read in your Bible with me together. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abraham took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. And then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. An amazing story of faith. A man who's obeying God, a man who's hearing the voice of God, a man who's prepared to do whatever it takes to follow God and to obey. It's an inspiring story, and it's a story that reminds me also of the first time in my life when I had to move. Okay, so I grew up on a farm in Graaffreinet, on the between Graaffreinet and Middelburg on the N9 in the Karoo. So I had to go to hostel in grade one, like exactly the same age as Nathan is now, 6 years old. I had to go to hostel, and I'll never forget that first move, in a way, I had to make out of my comfort zone. And it was like scary, because you've been on a farm where people are very scarce. There's a lot of sheep and cows and animals, but there's not a lot of people. Now you have to go into a little town where there's a school, there's a lot of people, you have to be with other people in a class. It was super scary. But I remember that thing in me, that fear of moving, that fear of like, yes, how's this going to work out, you know? I'm not going to see my mother for 5 days, then I'm only going to see her like for 2 days, and then again 5 days in this hostel with other boys, and it's like freaking out. I mean, I was scared. So much so that I didn't even cry. You know, other little boys were crying because they're missing their mom, but I was so full of fear. I was so shy, like I didn't make a noise, you know, I didn't speak. It was like full of fear in a way. But when I look back on it, I just realize I'm thankful that I had to make that move. I was forced in a way. In a way, God's saying, start to move, because I've called you to move. I've called you to move with me. And so this is the first of your little hurdles that you have to overcome, where you have to move. And then I went through junior school, and you get used to the fact that you've seen your parents a lot less than you used to for the first 6 years of your life, and you're actually so small, it's crazy. I mean, I'm so glad I don't have to send my kids to hostel from grade one. But then I came to another move in my life, and that was grade eight, standard six. Then I had to go even further. Then we were sent to Port Elizabeth to go to school. So yeah, it's like 300 k's away from Graaffreinet. I'm sent away. I'm just starting to get to know the girls, because Union, the school at Graaffreinet, was like a mixed co-ed school. So now you got boys and girls. You know, when you're like 13, 12, 13 years old, you just start to like girls and you start to interact a bit with the opposite sex. And yeah, I'm getting sent to a boys only school. And I'm like, yes, parents, don't you think? You know, like. But I mean, I was, again, it was like this move in faith that you had to do, like, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be totally new. You don't have a clue, you don't know anyone. It's like a new environment. And we were there at the beginning, and they said to us, you know what, guys, get used to the fact that you're going to see us a lot more than you're going to see your parents. It's like throughout the year, if you count the number of days that you're going to be here versus going to be at home, it's much more you're going to be here. So get used to us. And now you're a little standard six boy, grade eight, you are so clueless. You start at the bottom, you're the last in the food chain. You have to serve the seniors. You've been called a new pot, and new pots have to do everything for the matrix. You run down to Kentucky and go buy them a Coke and a rounder, and you just serve, and you start at the bottom. And that fear that grips you when you have to know, hey, I'm leaving home. This is like. And I'll never forget that moment where my mother, it's time to say goodbye now. It's like the last goodbye. Your parents are with you, and it's like, shh, stressing. And I'm sitting in the car, don't want to get out the car. And I know my mother, the longer she sort of stays in this car, and the longer I stay in this car, it's just going to cause me to say, I'm going back to Graaffreinet. I don't want to do this. And my dad gets out the car, and my mom stays. She knows she mustn't get involved now. My dad gets out the car, and I get out with him, and he walks with me to the door. He doesn't say anything. He stands at the door, he gives me a hug, says goodbye. I walk up the stairs, I look back at my dad, and he just says one word to me. He looks me in the eye. I'm halfway up the stairs, and I'm like almost, I'm emotional, I'm about to cry. Like, he just says, "Fastbait." And he turns around and walks, and I'm up the stairs, and that was the start of my high school career. The very next year, I met Jesus. I had a great school career. I was blessed to go overseas for running. I had an amazing coach. I just met amazing people. And at that school, I met Jesus, and my life was changed. Why? Because I had to go. God said I must go. And it wasn't easy. It was tough, but it was a step of faith. It was a step of trusting in the voice of God through my parents saying, "This is where I want you." I'm so blessed to even have many other stories throughout my ministry. We know in ministry we had to go to leave Stellenbosch, go up to Pretoria, then come here to Bloemfontein within a year and a half, and now 10 years later we're moving again. It's like God is trying to say something to us. I've called you to just follow me. I've called you to walk on this journey of faith. And it's so amazing looking back at my life, and I just realized that that's the life God's called all of us to live. It's a life of faith. It's not about how far or how many times you move, but it's a life of moving with God. Amen. A journey of faith. So let's look at what this faith is, because faith starts, yeah, in verse 1. It said, the Lord had said to Abraham. The Lord had said something to Abraham. And what did he say to him? He says, go. Get out of your country. That's where your identity is. Get away from your family where security and comfort and all of those things are. And go out from your father's house to a land that I want to show you. God didn't say exactly where that land was. He didn't say exactly what that land was going to look like. But Abraham just had to obey, because sometimes God doesn't show us exactly the next step. Amen. He just shows you the next step. He doesn't show you five steps in advance. And the walk of faith is based on the word of God, guys. Isn't that amazing? Romans 10 verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how faith comes. Faith comes by the word of God. And what has the word of God said to you for this year? I remember when God whispered into my ear on the 1st of January this year, just trust me. I didn't have a clue Because on the 1st of January, I did not know where I was going. I don't know, I just knew it's time to leave Bloom, but I didn't even know I was going to leave Bloom. But I just knew it's time for a move, it's time for change. And now I'm seeing it playing out, not even a month and a half later, I'm seeing how God is saying, trust me still, believe in me, I'm doing something. You see, the Word of God is powerful, and it changes your life when you receive it and when you allow it to bring conviction in your heart. I want to say that again. The Word of God is powerful when you receive it and allow it to do something in your heart. The Word of God is spoken a lot of times in our lives, amen. But it doesn't bring change because it's not because the Word isn't powerful, it's because we haven't received it and believed it. And I want you to think about when the Word of God really cut to your heart. Think about a time in your life, just for a few seconds right now. Think about when there was a time when the Word of God spoke to you and you just knew, it's moved. Like, maybe it was when you got saved. Maybe it was when you got filled with the Holy Spirit, when someone preached or it was a cell group and you just encountered something and God was like, boom, this is the word for you. Maybe someone prophesied over your life. Maybe you read the Bible one morning and you were like, boom, I don't have to stress. I can just let go. But think about those times when the Word of God changes you. And I want to say today, the Word does change us. God's pattern throughout Genesis is as follows. He gives a command, then He gives a promise, and then there's a response. God gives a command, He gives a promise, and then there's a response. And that's what He did with Abraham. He said the following, He says, Abraham, I'm going to go. The command was, get out, go, Abraham. The Word moves us out of the natural into the supernatural. I want to say that today. It's not about physical moving. It's about a spiritual principle that God wants to move us from the natural to the supernatural. Do you see that? He says, get out of your natural life and move into the supernatural life. Get out of your natural family and go into a spiritual family. Because sometimes some of us have to get out of our natural families and the comforts of our natural families and get into a spiritual family. And for me in my life, I'm thankful for Shofar as the spiritual family because I'm not against my parents, I'm not cross with them, but I didn't grow up in a home where I was taught the fullness of God. I was taught religion, I was taught a lot of other stuff because they didn't know. It wasn't my parents' fault. But I'm so thankful God took me physically away from my parents to a place where I could meet Jesus. And I met Him at school, got saved there, but then I went to Stellenbosch and I met this group of weird people called Shofar. And I met Jesus in His fullness. Because I had to get out of my comfort zone, my identity, my natural life, and I had to move into a spiritual life. So faith starts with God's Word moving us into this eternal, into the supernatural. And then it says, after God said go, He said to Abraham, I'm going to give you this promise. I want you to go to a land that I will show you. And then He says the following. I will bless you. I'm going to curse him who curses you. And you, all the families of the earth, shall be blessed. God said amazing promises to Abraham. God made incredible promises. I want to ask you again this afternoon, what promises has God given you? Do you know the promises that God has given you? Because He's going to maybe give a command, but He's going to give promises to you. And sometimes the command seems hectic. Hey, Lord. Must I really go? Must I really go and say sorry to this person? Must I really? Because sometimes that going just means you must go and say sorry to someone. Or some just, you know, forgive someone. Sometimes that going just means to say something to someone. To reconcile. Whatever it means. But it's a tough command sometimes. But then God says, I'm going to promise you this. You're going to be blessed. Amen. Do you believe that, friends, that God wants to bless you when you obey? It's always going to be a blessing for you. And so it says, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And guess how old he was? 75 years old. Anyone know of some 75-year-olds who are quite stuck in their ways and they will not move? Abraham was not one of them. You guys all know your grandparents. They're stuck. You know, you can't even get them to move into an old age home because like they're stuck in their place. But Abraham was 75 years old. In other words, he wasn't at a place like, you know, they say you can teach a young dog new tricks, but you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Abraham wasn't a young dog. He was an old dog. But you can teach an old Abraham new tricks. So he wasn't stuck in his ways. He was a man of faith. He knew the word of God. He received it and he believed it. And I want to ask you, what is your last step of obedience or response to the command and the promises God has given you? Because God will not move you on until you've taken that last step of obedience. God cannot move you on. He just wants you to obey. But faith starts with the word of God, friends. I tell someone next to you, faith starts with the word. Then the second thing, it says, Abraham took Sarah, his wife, you can underline that, Lot, his brother's son, and all the people whom they had acquired in Haran. Faith, friends, involves the people of God. Faith is never just about you. Sorry to say. Faith starts with the word of God, but faith is about other people. Faith is never only about you and me. God has always got a plan, and God will always put a team together. I want to say it's not good to be alone. You cannot walk this journey of faith alone. Faith is always about being with the people of God, journeying with the people of God. Can I have an amen? You guys are all here at church, so you're like excited. Yeah. But for those out there listening, I want to say come to church. Be involved. If you're on your own out there, don't be alone. Come and be involved in some. And I know it's like we're only allowed 50 people and we... It's like so many restrictions on church, but I want to say it's not an excuse to be isolated. So God always has other people in mind when we travel on this journey of faith. And yeah, Abraham took his wife, took his brother's son, and all the people there must have had an amazing little community. They were a little church on their own. Journey. Because if we read this sometimes and we think, hey, man of faith, man of power, for the I'm like Abraham, I'm going to go. But it's not only about you. It's always about a group of people. God is into the groups, amen. And I want to say we are blessed to be a blessing to other people and to make a difference. But we need to be surrounded by the people of God because we cannot do this alone. And I'm so thankful for my wife and the support she's been through tough times and through good times. Thankful for my kids that sometimes are so positive. When I'm like down, I'm like that. I look at my kids and I just have joy again because they just bring a carefree, joyful lifestyle. When we as adults get so serious. We need our families, guys. And if you're not married, then you still need a family. You've got a cell group. Hey, Boots and Nick. You've got a group of people that we must treasure in our lives. And I remember when I came into Shofar, I was such an individualist. Like it's just about me, and I'm a runner, and it's running's an individual sport. And the Lord told me when I came to Shofar, this is your family. This is your team. You're going to learn from these people. Even today, I'm still learning from the leaders that are over me, that I'm submitted under. I'm still learning some hard lessons at times. But you see, the local church, I want to say, should be a church, a place of faith. Can I have an amen? The local church should be a place of faith. It's not about individual faith. It's also about corporate faith. Because Abraham had corporate faith. He had his family that went with him, and they were on a mission for God. The local church should be a place of faith and not of religion, and can easily become a place of religion. If we don't watch ourselves, and even as a church community, we think we're spirit-filled and we like, you know, got the Holy Spirit, but we can become so religious as well if we don't say, Lord, help us to walk by faith, help us to walk by your word, help us to be humble and be surrounded by other people who can speak into our lives when sometimes we have a lot of blind spots. I want to say true faith causes unity amongst God's people. True faith caused Abraham's whole family and all the people that were with him to go with him. Because there was faith, there was unity. Because why? They all looked at God. They didn't look at each other for solutions. If we can look at Jesus, friends, we'll be an amazing church. We'll be an amazing group of people if we keep our eyes fixed on Christ as the primary one and we follow him together. So tell someone next to you, let's follow him together. Because faith involves the people of God. And then the third thing I want to get out of the story and I want you to see here is that Abraham had encounters with the Lord. Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were in that land. And then it says, very clearly, the Lord appeared to Abraham. And he said, I'll give you this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. This name for more is identical to the noun more, which is spelled the same, but it may either mean early rain or teacher. That was the person that this tree was called after. It could mean early rain or teacher, or else the verb means what? To throw, cast, or to shoot. And it's a tree, it speaks almost of a tree, and I see this as growth. Why did Abraham pass through that place? Because it was a tough place. It was a Canaan, in Canaan, the land of Canaan. Guess what? That was possessed by all the rebels or the people against God, the Gentiles, the unbelievers, whatever you want to call them. The people that had possessed that land, and God said, I want to redeem this land. So the Canaanites represented oppression, resistance, tough times for Abraham. Because how's he going to do this? These guys own this land. Who am I to take this land? It represented a challenge for Abraham, but it also represented this name called Moreh, which means teacher or early rain or to grow. And I see that as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit causes us to grow. He's our comfort. He comes alongside us. And he sometimes shoots us, throws us. He launches us into growth by his presence. And it says at that exact place, Abraham, the Lord appeared to Abraham. And what did he do? He built an altar because God had appeared to him. He had an encounter with the Lord. You see, I want to say, when we respond to God's call, sometimes it means a lot of challenges. It means a lot of uncertainty. It means you're going to have to conquer some giants in the promised land that God's got for you. But you see, God takes him there and he gives him the ability to still overcome this. He gives him the Holy Spirit. He gives him his own spirit. He encounters him. And I want to say it's no different from today. God sometimes asks us to go to difficult places. He asks us to speak to difficult people. He puts us in difficult situations. The world is not an easy place, friends, but the world actually is a platform from which we can be launched. We can grow through the challenges as long as we encounter God's presence. I want to say again, even through the tough times, even when things are difficult, we can continue to hope in something that might even only come in the future. Some breakthrough is going to come, but we can hope in that. Why? Because God is faithful. What he said, he promised, and he will do that if we trust his promises, stay the course, and continue to take God at his word. An altar here represents a monument to testify of the presence of God. And I believe sometimes on a Sunday we build altars here when we come together. Because why? There's something different about the presence of God. Or something different about getting together in the presence of God as opposed to on your own. Isn't that so? There's a corporate anointing which I'm sure, has anyone missed corporate gatherings this last while? Be honest now. Because online doesn't do it. Sorry for you guys that are watching there online now. I mean, it's nice, but you're missing out by not being here. There's something different. I just want to say yours, I really was blessed today. Just want to honor you, man. Yes, you are so anointed. Just on your own, I haven't experienced worship like this in a long time. It was really anointed. And I want to thank you. Thank you, Boots, and all the people that lead us in worship. There's an anointing when you come with a pure heart and you just say, we're going to serve God, we're going to worship God. It's just so special to be in the presence of God. Because faith grows in the presence of God. I don't know about you, but I know you're going to leave this place different. I know I'm going to leave this place today different. Why? Because God is here. And yes, God is everywhere, but Martin said it a couple of weeks last year when we did the prayer training. He says the difference between the presence of God, which is he's all over, and the manifest presence of God. And this is what we experience here, what Abraham experienced, God appearing to him. It's the manifest presence. You sense him. You can hear his voice clearly if you shut out all the distractions. Sometimes we have to come to church just shutting out distractions because, hey, God has got an appointment with us. It's not just the religious exercise we're doing, eh, Boots? We're not just going through five songs and announcements and offering. We've got a divine appointment with the King and with the Savior. Isn't that exciting, guys? The Lord is going to appear to us as we come into his presence and we build an altar and we remember stuff, we write it down, we say, that day God spoke to me. Sometimes we need to build more altars in our lives. lives. Why? Because we can testify that our faith grows in the presence of God, just like Abraham's faith grew. I'm almost done. The last thing here. Abraham moved out to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the one side and I on the other side. And again he built an altar to the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. Do you guys know what Bethel means? It means house of the Lord. Do you know what I means? Amen. Afrikaans people know it's I. And it does actually mean I. It means place of ruins, a heap of ruins. I am I. Guess where Abraham stood? In between the house of the Lord and a place of ruins. Isn't that amazing? Guess where Jesus Christ was crucified? Between the house of God, heaven, and a heap of ruins, earth. Isn't that awesome? Abraham pitched his tent. And he stood between heaven and earth. He stood between a holy heaven and a perfect heaven and a messed up earth, a heap of ruins. Between the house of the Lord, which is Bethel, and I, the heap of ruins. Abraham pitched his tent there. And God was saying to him, this is what I want you to do. This is what I've called you to do. I've called you to be the father of faith. I've called you to be the dad who's going to bring forth eventually the man, Jesus Christ, who's going to ultimately stand between heaven and earth, between the house of God and a heap of ruins, and save the world. And what did Abraham do there? He built an altar. Again, testifying of the presence of God, testifying of God coming and consuming the sacrifices in the old days. That's what an altar represents, that God's presence is welcome there. God's going to come and consume the sacrifice, and there he's going to dwell. And Abraham built that altar, and then he just called upon the name of the Lord, and he worshipped, glorified the name that is above every other name. Because who is the name of the Lord? The Bible says there's only one name. It's the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus Christ is the name that is above every other name, the name of the Lord. And then Abraham called on the name of the Lord, and it was almost just a little bit of a foretaste of what was to come, because one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. One day there's going to be only one name by which man can be saved, the name of Jesus. One commentator said the following, that at the end of this passage here about Abraham's journey of faith that started, the Bible describes Abraham in contrast to the guys building the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. What did they do in Genesis 11 when they built the Tower of Babel? They wanted to settle and they wanted to build worship unto themselves. They wanted to build something where they would be worshipped. Isn't that so? And God comes and he asks Abraham, I don't want you to settle. I don't want you just to be secure. I want you to go into something risky and something unsafe. I want you to go on this journey of faith with me. Why? Because I want to be worshipped. I want you to build me a monument, not about you, but it's about me. Abraham didn't build a monument to worship himself. He built an altar to worship God, unlike the people of Babel. And it's this massive contrast between the sin that reached its pinnacle and its worst point, where man was so resistant towards God, building this altar, and here God calls one man. And he says, I want you to start a movement of faith. Start a journey of faith. You and your family and your descendants and your children's children, and the many nations will be blessed through you because of your obedience. So Abraham doesn't build something to worship himself, but to worship God. And through this, God promises to make his name and every other name that worships him great. God wants to bless us, friends. God wants to make us great so that we can build altars and start to worship the name above every other name. That we can build an altar and stand, just like Abraham, between Bethel and between I, stand between heaven and earth. As New Testament believers, we are also called to stand between the living and the dead. We are supposed to also rescue people. Amen. We're supposed to tell people there's one who can save you. His name is Jesus. So faith, friends, glorifies Jesus Christ. Faith brings glory not to you, but to him the name above every other name. I want to encourage us in this next while and in this year, let us build altars and call upon the name of Jesus. Let's testify, let's worship like we did today, let's worship out there, take it to the marketplaces, take it to our workplaces, let's worship the Lord, pray to the Lord, testify of his goodness that we can give him glory. Because his glory is going to cover the earth, amen, like the waters cover the sea. And the last verse says the following, so Abraham journeyed, going on toward the south. So he journeyed. In this way he journeyed. How did he journey? He journeyed by the word of God. He journeyed with the people of God. He journeyed in the presence of God and had encounters with the Lord and ultimately called upon the name of the Lord and glorified the name of the Lord. That's the life of Abraham. And if you read through the rest of the Bible and the rest of the story of Abraham, you'll see this pattern continues. Because it starts again. God says, I'm going to speak to you now. Are you listening? Abraham, Abraham. And then what happens? He says, it's all about other people. I'm going to take you. I'm going to take you by my spirit. I want you to encounter me over and over again. It says many times in Genesis, God appeared to Abraham. And ultimately, Abraham brought even his son as a sacrifice. And God said, well, I can see you. You're radical. You even want to sacrifice your son. I see your faith, man. I can use you. And Abraham is called to the father of faith to this day. He's called by his faith. The Bible says he was made righteous. And by our faith in Jesus Christ, we can also be made righteous. How beautiful is that? What a mighty God we serve. A God who's called us, friends, to journey by faith. To walk this walk of faith. And I want to encourage you guys and say to you, walk this year by faith. Trust in God. Amen, Emily, Martel, Mark, Abungile. Trust in God. Have faith in him and allow his word to direct you, allow his spirit to direct you, and allow the people around you also to direct you and glorify Jesus. Bring glory to the name that is above every other name. And you will be blessed. I want to say that again. The same blessing that was upon Abraham, I want to speak over each one of us. And it's not about us, remember. It seems very prosperity, this. Like, hey, you know, you're going to be blessed and you're going to be awesome. And it's not about prosperity. It's about obedience. It's about the command of God to go, and the promises of God will come to fulfillment. You will be a great nation. Yes, you can come up so long, and then we're just going to pray and end off in ministry. I want to speak this over each of you. As you obey God, God says, I will make you a great nation, verse 2. Secondly, I will bless you and make your name great. God wants you to be not great, but the name of Jesus in you to be great. And you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. God is going to bless you, friends, protect you, make his face shine upon you. God is going to curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I want to say many people are going to be blessed through you, Johan, through you, Tammy, through you, Martel, Nick, Boots, Matthew, Tyler. God is going to bless people through you. Like Abraham, everyone was blessed. Maybe for you, it's not everyone, but there will be certain people that you will reach that you will bless. You will be a blessing to many people on this earth. Because while we've been blessed to be a blessing, if we walk by faith, then we'll be blessed to be a blessing to other people. Amen. Let's close our eyes and just respond to what the Lord wants us to receive today.